Any tickets from Newcastle? Tickets from Newcastle?
Not me.
Sorry, sir?
Not me, I got on at York.
So your ticket's been checked then?
Aye, it has, aye. My name's Callum, by the way. But you can see my ticket as well if you want.
Oh, I don't need to if it's already been checked. Any tickets from Newcastle?
It wasn't checked until after Darlington, mind.
Sorry?
Just saying that I got on at York, but nobody checked my ticket until after Darlington. So technically, I could have got on at York and got off at Darlington without showing a ticket.
Right, where are you travelling today?
Edinburgh.
So, not much point in getting off in Darlington then?
But I could have.
But you didn't?
Could have.
Didn't. And you do have a ticket?
Well, you don't know that for definite.
You told me it was checked after Darlington.
I told you that, aye. But you haven't seen my checked ticket.
No, I'm taking your word for it.
Why would you do that?
I am beginning to wonder, sir.
Just seems to be a flaw in the system.
Have you bought a ticket, sir?
Yes.
For the journey you're currently taking?
Yes.
So what's the flaw?
I didn't need a ticket between York and Darlington. Here's another thing.
Uh-huh.
If you say tickets from Newcastle, what's to stop someone just ignoring you and not showing you a ticket?
It's a bit unusual, sir.
Unusual? I get folk ignoring me all the time.
Is that right?
It's like a waiter shouting out, anyone not paid? You'd easily get someone ignoring that, couldn't you?
Right, is there anything else?
Aye, I'm in the wrong coach. What do you think of that?
Not much, sir.
I should be in the quiet coach.
Well, that might be preferable, yes.
Though, of course, it's not the coach that's quiet, it's the people.
Uh-huh.
So it shouldn't be called the quiet coach, it should be called the quiet people coach.
Listen, I'll be sure to pass that on. Anything else?
Yeah, why do you have small cans of beer but huge packets of crisps? What's that all about?
No idea. You'll have to ask the trolley woman about that.
Ah, fair enough. Where is she?
She got off at Newcastle. I wish I had. Tickets from Newcastle!
Hello and welcome to the company that takes you on audio bus tours, all text. Today we're touring around the wonderful city of Edinburgh. As I'm sure most of you know, Edinburgh is the capital of Scotland. E is the capital of Edinburgh and C is the capital of capital. C is also a place you swim in and that's the beauty of language. Edinburgh is affectionately known as Old Reeky, owing to all the smoke that used to emanate from the pipes that people puffed on in the olden days. Even the ladies and babies. No matter what your gender or age, everyone had a big old pipe, like Sherlock Holmes, better known as Bendeldick Humblesnatch. Others, however, say that the terrible pong was actually due to people throwing the contents of their chamber pots out of their windows with the familiar cry of Gardy Poo, which is Scotch for watch out for the shit. Now, Deacon Brodie was a famous Edinburgh character known for his double life as a respectable town burgher by day and a burglar by night. He did it just for the thrills. Sometimes, to make it even more exciting, he'd mix it up a bit and do daytime burgling and nighttime burger van. He was a real Jekyll and Hyde character, and thus apparently he gave Robert Louis Stevenson the idea for his famous book, Treasure Island. In the olden days, Edinburgh consisted only of the old town situated on the high street between the castle and Holyrood Palace. Holyrood was so named because fine men and ladies used to go there to be rude with their holes. They also used to go to the Mound for much the same reason. This was also known, this time, as the Age of Enlightenment, and Edinburgh was full of famous thinkers like Adam Smith, Adam Faith, Adam and the Ants, Adam Adamant and Adam the first human man out of the Royal Botanical Garden of Edinburgh. Edinburgh is also famous for having its very own hairstyle, the Edinburgh Fringe. Which is an annual haircut. The Fringe also led to the introduction in Edinburgh of the world-famous Bay City Rollers, first used by women in the early 1970s. You just sleep with the rollers overnight and in the morning regret it. Edinburgh has produced many famous writers. One of the most famous is, of course, Walter Scott Monument, who was a huge man and lived in Prince's Street Gardens. He stood over 60 metres tall and was generally covered in bird poo. More recently, J.K. Rowling wrote the world-famous Harry the Potter books while waiting for a cup of coffee in the Elephant House Cafe, which is in Edinburgh Zoo. It's incredible to think that we would never have heard of the boy wizard Harry the Potter if the coffee had been instant. I hope you have enjoyed your all-text experience and that you'll remember Edinburgh fondly as the place that you went to when you went to Edinburgh.
So, is there something specific you'd like to discuss today?
Yes, there is. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Just take your time.
OK. Well, I was at home the other evening watching a box set on TV and the episode finished. And then I realised that I'd come to the end of the box set.
You finished a box set? How awful. Which one was it?
The Wire.
Oh, dear. I feel for you. But you must understand that this is the natural cycle of life. Box sets, like life, do come to an end. Unless it's Game of Thrones.
But not The Wire, though, surely.
Yes, even The Wire. It may be of comfort to know that what you're going through is very common. We know it as box set loss. BSL for short.
Doesn't make it any easier.
It's hard to accept right now, but dealing positively with grief caused by BSL is central to your recovery process and your ability, after a reasonable period, to watch another box set.
Will I be able to do that, do you think?
Oh, yes. I would think so in time, but you mustn't rush it.
Yeah.
You must grieve in your own way. Have you thought about the possibilities of watching other box sets?
Well, I already have. This is the fifth box set I've had to get over in the past couple of years. How much can a person take? I've lost The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, West Wing. It seems to get more difficult each time.
Have you thought about watching live television?
Well, you must know the chances of that working are very slim.
Yes. Sorry, I was clutching at straws. Okay. Is there anything else you need to discuss?
Yes. Do you think it's best to bury or cremate the DVD? Is it?
Hello. Reverend McMind here. Well, yet again, it's been a bit of a week, as they say, in conversation. There I was, weighing up the merits of Iron Brew versus American Cream Soda in the carbonated drinks aisle of my local Minibat, when I suddenly became aware of blue flashing lights and the scream of rubber upon tar macadam, what they used to cry, a commotion. The next thing I knew, I was being forced to the ground and pinned, not altogether unpleasantly, against a carbonated drinks chiller by a large tanned man in a black suit, fun to the touch. Six-pack like a washboard, but I digress. Excuse me, sir, he said in an accent clearly not of Schott's bon accord. I must ask you to stay still until otherwise commanded. Clayton, let the old guy up, says a voice. Similarly, outre de Schott's. And amidst my lightheadedness, I became aware of the distinct whiff of male hairspray, Ambrosial Air, and over-applied Givenchy. Good God, I was face to face with Donald Trump. He's bigger than you imagine. The phrase Trumpty Dumpty came to mind. Anyway, it turned out he was looking for some mineral water to quench his thirst. And when I pointed out that my local Minimart was not in the habit of selling for profit items one can easily get from the tap, he set forth a tirade of wall-building, nuke-launching, genocidal war-ranting, so much so that I thought he was having a fit. With Clayton suddenly inactive, I took matters into my own hands, and with a bottle of the appropriately entitled Tizer the Surpriser, I shook and sprayed for all I was worth, only to be downed by a rebooted Clayton and a cruelly accurate Curly Wurly to the groin. The special relationship disappeared, and sadly, once again, the red mist descended, and Clayton felt the shock and awe of a Tunnock's tea cake at terminal velocity. Anyway, two rendition flights, here I am. And I must say, the weather in Fantanimo is considerably more clement than that of Shots Bon Accord. And for the record, like my local Minimart, they certainly don't use mineral water here when they insist on my drinking gallons of the stuff through a soiled Disneyland tea cloth. Good night.
6 months ago, I was feeling rather queasy and ill. My bowels were bad-tempered and extremely irritable. So I went to see a nutritionist, and he said, number one, desist from getting pissed. Number two, you're gonna die, it'll save your life. I thought, a diet, I'll try it. And now I'm a wheat-free, dairy-free, gluten-free alcoholic. I'm a long, lean, pinto bean, eating clean, healthaholic. And I'm gonna live forever, it'll be fine. I'll be scoffing goji berries till I'm 99. I'm a food fixated, colonic, irrigated, healthaholic. If it's factory farmed, I'll sound the alarm. If food ain't organic, I start to panic. If it's microwaved or hydrogenated, I'd much rather be castrated. I'm a lactose-free, quinoa devil tea healthaholic. If it's blackened or charred, it's totally barred. Hormone-laden dairy is terrifyingly scary. I won't be impregnated by food irradiated. Bread is the devil, halt the salt. I feel so unfit when I look at a biscuit. I'm never gonna eat anything with feet. I'm a sugar-hating anything. Canned is bad, healthaholic. There ain't no stopping my clean food shopping. I spend all the time I'm able inspecting food labels. I refuse dinner invites, I feel unstable. I'm stressed not knowing what's gonna be on the table. I love garbanzo beans and polenta, as long as they're wrapped up in placenta. I'm a prudent cabbage pie, seaweed smoothie guy. Never gonna die, it's time to say goodbye, healthaholic.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Frank Hovis. Charity fundraising. You've all heard of Comic Relief, and you've all heard of Sport Relief. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about a different one, Hand Relief. Hand Relief, ladies and gentlemen. And the way it works is this. Every time you crap your hands, that is, you'll be raising £1 for tonight's chosen charity, Quim. That's Quim with a K, ladies and gentlemen. The Campaign for Women in Men. They help people who are men but would prefer to be women. It's a good cause. And it's what they call politically correct. Because, as you know, I'm a big fan of political correctness. In fact, If there's any lovely lady in the audience here tonight who'd like an opportunity to get her on to talk to me about feminism, I'll be only too happy to give her one. Now, I expect you're thinking to yourselves, Frank, 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 why are you involved in charity work? Well, I can tell you it's not because I'm after a knighthood, like some people I could mention. I won't name him, let's just call him David Beckenham. Although he did say he'd been taken out of context, and if that's true, that's very unpleasant. I do charity work, ladies and gentlemen, because it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to touch other people's lives and perhaps touch one or two other things as well while I'm at it. Who knows? And I work with a couple of other charities as well, the Royal Society for Cruelty to Animals. And I also work with Dignitas. Who do a lot of good work helping builders to keep their trousers up. Because, you know, too many people these days say, I don't give a toss. Well, tonight you can give a toss. So what we want is the biggest crap they've ever had here at the Oran Moor. I want you to raise the roof with it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I wish the ladies and gentlemen at home could have seen what I've seen here tonight. Yes. Good night.
Now it's time for our brand new, same as all the rest, police drama. D.I. Mitchell, you're off the case.
Come in, man.
Morning, Chief Inspector.
D.I. Mitchell, where the hell do you think you've been?
Just outside, sir, waiting for you to say, come in, man.
I thought I could see you standing out there through the glass door. Now, I want a word.
Of course, sir.
Mitchell, you're off the case.
But, sir, I just got here.
Doesn't matter.
But I've already got troubles at home, sir. If you take me off the case, my life will be in complete turmoil.
Not my problem, Mitchell. Do you think I like doing this?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, I admit it. I get a kick out of it.
But why am I off the case, sir?
Mitchell, as you know, it is my duty as your superior officer to take you off the case in order to make it more difficult for you to solve the damn thing. Otherwise, we can't stretch this drama of 3 episodes. Here's the police drama TV manual. Maybe you should brush up on that while you've got your feet up. Go on, get out of my sight.
Can I just say one thing, Chief Inspector?
This better be good, Mitchell, or I'll take you off the case again.
Well, sir, the thing is, I'm not actually on a case.
On you? And why the hell not?
There isn't one. We're waiting for the next big case to come along.
Chief Inspector?
Yes, PC Bennett?
I've just had the press on the phone.
What, all of them?
Every last one, sir. They're out in the country somewhere, playing games and having a picnic.
Hear that, Mitchell? The press are having a field day.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Other bit of news, sir.
This better be good, Bennett.
Why is that, sir?
Because if it's not good, it'll be bad. And we don't do bad around here.
We found a body.
That is good, Bennett.
Might it be a big murder?
How big's the body?
Morbidly obese, sir. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out we're dealing with a serial killer. He left a note saying he was seriously considering doing another murder next week.
Even better. Thank you, Bennett.
Sir.
Mitchell?
Yes, sir.
It's a possible serial killer. Sounds like a case for you.
I'm on it, sir.
Well, as of now, you're off it.
I've only been on it for 2 seconds.
Yeah, even that was too long. You're off the case, you're compromised, you're too involved, you've no idea, you're too tall, it's just not working out.
Next week on You're Off the Case.
Mitchell!
Chief Inspector!
Bennett!
Chief Inspector, D.I. Mitchell.
Yeah, OK, to be honest, they haven't actually written next week's episode yet.
So, at our last session, we were discussing the fact that you'd finished your box set of The Wire... and how you were feeling devastated by the loss.
That's right, yes.
So, how have you been coping?
Well, I've kind of forgotten about the box set, to be honest.
Oh, good.
Well, no, it's not, actually. It's only because I had another very traumatic incident. I was working on my laptop when suddenly it gave out. It just stopped responding.
Oh, dear, that's awful.
Yes, yes, it might be terminal.
How long have you had the laptop?
We've been together for about 7 years. We're very close.
So is it actually dead?
We don't know at this stage. It's hanging on.
Is it at home?
No, it's in the ICU.
The ICU?
The intensive computer unit. It's touch and go, apparently.
Can you visit?
They've suggested it's better that they just get on with the repair, so I've left them to it. They know what they're doing.
Must be a very worrying time.
It's terrible. I have so much data on there, I can't believe I might never see it again.
Have you got access to another laptop at the moment?
Well, I'm muddling along using a tablet, you know, but it's not the same.
I see.
And that's getting old, too. And my phone is also showing signs of wear and tear. It's a nightmare. My whole electronic life is crumbling. I don't know where to turn, really.
One thought which might help.
Yes?
Have you thought about not being such an arse?
Yes, I do know what is the truth. It is when you just say the thing what happened and do not put any story round it, even if it is a bit boring. And sometimes it is all right to tell a lie. Like if a girl at school has got a new dress and you say it is very nice, even though she does look like a pig in a pop sock. And a fib happens when you eat some sweets what do not belong to you, but you say, it wasn't me. And then you have to say sorry to the child what sweets you ate. And you have to buy them some blooming new sweets with your own pocket money. And your teacher does say, I am very disappointed in you. And then you do wobbly lip, but you do not really care for because the sweets were very, very tasty. But then there is the next big thing, what is called a whopper. And that is not a kind of burger. It is a really big lie what has serious consequences. And a whopper is if you did say that a teacher, what you do not like very much, did smack you. And first of all, it is quite good because you will not be in any trouble at all and the grown-up will be in trouble instead. And that is very, very funny. But then you must be careful because it might all go wrong and the teacher might say you are telling a lie. And if that happens, you must do proper shouty crying and say you're very sorry it didn't really happen and that you only said it because you've got an emotional problem at home. And then your mum will have to come up to school and everyone is very serious and asks her, what is the big emotional problem? And then her voice does go all quiet and she does look straight at you and say, are you making this up again? Just like that time you said the neighbour's staffy dog bit you on the head when really you did try to cut your own hair with a tin opener. And then you must own up. And everyone says that if you own up, they will not be cross with you, but that is a big lie, because they're bloody blooming furious. And your teacher does say, you are the little girl what cried wolf, whatever that does mean, because you never even see the wolf, except at the zoo, and that wolf was not crying, but licking his great big hairy winkle. But I do not understand why it's not okay to make something up at school when you feel all sad and muddled inside, but it is okay for Donald Stupid Trump to tell a lie about everything and then say that everyone else in the whole wide world is lying, especially Barack Obama and crooked Hillary Clinton and even Vladimir Putin, what used to be his best boyfriend and helped him win an election. And Trump does say that everything told about him is fake news, even though the really fake thing is his Mr. Whippy hair and his orange peel face and his teeth what look like Tippex. And the whole world's in a great big muggle because nothing means nothing. So you might as well steal the other child's sweets and just say you opened your mouth and they jumped inside. Because I do not know what is the truth and what is a lie anymore. And that is what I think it is. It's true.
It's Saturday night. It's 8:30. Bedtime soon. Ooh. Feels like it's getting quite late. My 20-year-old me would shake his head in sorrow, 'cause I'm looking forward to a nice bracing walk tomorrow. It's come to this. Saturday nights are for staying in and box set bliss. It's come to this. 20-year-old me would be caning it out on the piss. Pub, club, maybe a wee tab. Then I stumble home with my breakfast kebab. But something seems to have changed. My Saturday's been rearranged. Life's become surprising. I find myself spiralizing. At six, I'm making salads with my new potato peeler. Whereas 20-year-old me would be calling his dealer. It's come to this. I can't make match of the day, I'm beat. I'll catch the Sunday morning repeat. It's come to this. My immortality has been replaced by an aching knee. Then I would be fornicating all night long. Now I only get the horn listening to bird song. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sing it to me, Blackbird. It's come to this. My trip to Ibiza's been usurped by a trek to IKEA. It's come to this. Tequila slammers have given way to brushed cotton pajamas. 10 p.m. Saturday was the start of my night. Now it's the time when I put out the light.
The Absolutely Radio Show is written and performed by Pete Bakey, Marlena Banks, Murray Hunter, Gordon Kennedy and George Sparks. The producers were Gordon Kennedy and Gus Beattie, and it's an Absolutely Gusman production for the BBC.